Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Raju Vacha. Apyeshavam Syam Rajashim. Punya Shokan Mahatmana. Anuvartita svidyashasa saruvadena sattama. The good king Yudhisthira inquired, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king, as pious in his very name, and as famous and glorified in his achievements as others who appeared in this great royal family? So, chapter 12 comes back to the original topic discussed by the sages of Naimisharanya, which was the story of Maharaj Parikshit. The sages of Naimisharanya asked about the history of the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which meant the history of its speakers and hearers. And they were discussing Maharaj Parikshit, Sutta Goswami. They asked about Maharaj Parikshit, and Sutta Goswami was discussing the beginning with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. And when he was discussing the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, because actually before if you want to discuss the history of Maharaj Parikshit, you can't just discuss the moment of his birth. You have to discuss the time he was in the womb of his mother, and he was protected by Krishna from the Brahmastra sent by the son of Drona, Ashwatthama. So at that time, after Sutta Goswami began to describe how he began to describe the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of Uttara, and then Uttara saw this Brahmastra weapon being directed to abort her child, and she took shelter of Krishna, and we were introduced to Krishna. And at that time, Sutta Goswami, although he was answering the question about Maharaj Parikshit, he began to discuss some other subjects, because during the time that Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of his mother, and after the time he was saved in the womb by Krishna, there were many other amazing and significant spiritual historical events, like Queen Kunti's prayers, Bhishma Dev's instructions to Yudhisthira, the sentiments of the residents of Hastinapur as Krishna was leaving for Dwarka, the sentiments of the residents of Dwarka as Krishna was entering Dwarka, the glory of Krishna's queens. So many other subject matters were being discussed by Sutta Goswami. So sages of Naimisharanya were very, very enlivened to hear Sutta Goswami describe the wonderful relationship between Krishna and his devotees, and how much Krishna reciprocated their dependence and affection. And they were very excited to hear their intense feelings of devotion manifested in their moods of separation. And they were also very happy to hear about the mind of Krishna, how much he is thinking about the pleasure of his devotees. I don't know what it's called. It's love. The devotees have bhakti for Krishna. It means within the mind of the devotees is the exclusive desire to satisfy Krishna. But Krishna has love for the devotees. I don't know if it's called bhakti, but he has love for his devotees. So they're so happy to hear how the mind of Krishna, what a wonderful person he is, that he's thinking about the pleasure and satisfaction of his devotees, and therefore instructs Bhishma Dev and makes arrangements for the glorification and happiness of Bhishma Dev in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. We've discussed these for the last month, all these wonderful pastimes. And this is what the sages of Dharmasharanya were hearing. And Shonaka Rishi is the chief sage at Dharmasharanya. And he more or less represents the other sages in directing the discussion. Very often you'll see that we'll be hearing a pastime in the Bhagavatam and Shonaka Rishi will begin to speak. And his great eagerness to hear will be expressed. We're seeing throughout the Bhagavatam that the main qualification for advancing in spiritual life is the desire to hear. Just like when Srila Prabhupada got initiated after 11 years associated with the Gaudiya Math, when he was initiated in Allahabad, Prayag, same term, same place, different name for the same place. Then when he was introduced to Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktisiddhanta says, yes, I know him. I have marked him. He likes to hear. The eagerness to hear is the essential. Prabhupada said, you know, the first essential is hearing, the eagerness to hear. Because bhakti is our goal, and bhakti is caused by bhakti. And the eagerness to hear about Krishna is the expression of bhakti. When you have attachment and devotion to a person, you are extremely eager to hear about him. So when we have attachment for Krishna, we are extremely eager to hear about him. And that hearing is our devotional service. Devotional service means to satisfy Krishna. And what is Krishna satisfied? He's satisfied by bhakti or devotion. So when someone is very eager to hear, that's a very, very wonderful service because it's an expression of devotion. Just like when one likes to hear from his teacher. There's two, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, two types of services are described, devotional services. One is, I think it's called Parishevana, and one is called Paricharja. Paricharja is physical services, fanning with the chamara, you know, bringing water, holding an umbrella over the master's head. And the other type is hearing. The Shonaka Rishi is always very, very eager to hear. And this is the qualification. We mentioned before, this is the qualification of the disciple. It's also the qualification of the guru. I mentioned that our disciplic succession, more than being a line of teachers, is a line of students. Because you cannot become a teacher unless you're a student. So we see their eagerness to hear all throughout the Bhagavatam, reminded again and again and again that the qualification for spiritual advancement is our eagerness to hear and our sincerity to actually, the eagerness to hear. We also discussed this point, which was quite interesting. The eagerness to hear means also the eagerness to apply what you're going to hear. And the eagerness to hear about devotional service means the eagerness to be Krishna's servant. And to have that knowledge and understanding that situates one in service to God. So again, Shonaka Rishi at the beginning of this chapter, he began to ask, let's go back to the original topic of a concerning Maharaj Parikit. So then Sutta Goswami again begins to describe the topic of Maharaj Parikit. And he begins that topic basically where he left off. The last thing that he discussed about Maharaj Parikit is Maharaj Parikit being saved within the womb. But now he begins to describe again Marge Prickett being saved within the womb, but he begins to describe it from a different perspective. Rather than describing it externally, in other words, what people were observing, he described it from the perspective of Marge Prickett. What Marge Prickett saw within the womb. How Krishna came in and he saw Krishna's form, and Krishna's form was described. And therefore, Marge Prickett became, well, it'll be at the end of the chapter too. He's known therefore as Prickshit or Examiner. So we saw, it's such an interesting history because they asked about the history of the speakers and hearers. So they're asking about the history of Marge Prickett. So it begins with his history and you go right to the womb. What he's doing in the womb and what he's thinking within the womb. He was such a powerful, great personality that he was conscious within the womb. Prabhupada also discussed in the purport that after seven months, the child awakens from his sleeping condition and begins to observe things. But he was Vira. He was such a great warrior, so destined to rule, that even in the womb he was able to tolerate the heat and the radiation sent by this Brahmastra weapon. And he began to observe Krishna's activities as he was saving him. Immediately he saw Krishna as my master and protector, which is the essence of bhakti for the servant of Krishna. He saw Krishna, what does it say? Just like the sun dries up a drop of dew, Krishna's great shakti and power dried up the heat of the Brahmastra weapon. And then also, Yudhisthira was described. Yudhisthira was his guardian because his father, Abhimanyu, who was killed. So his grandfather was Arjuna and Yudhisthira was the brother of Arjuna. So in an Indian family, there's not so much distinction. Uncles are like fathers. So he was basically the grandfather of Maharaj Prickett. So we see a little bit about Yudhisthira's qualities because that's also a historical perspective when he's born. Basically, he's coming from the dynasty of the Pandavas, and we see Maharaj Yudhisthira, who's going to conduct basically the birth ceremony and arrange for the Brahmins to come. And then at an auspicious time, then Maharaj Prickett appears. Krishna arranges for the great souls to, says, take advantage of the auspicious time. Prabhupada described in the purport, it was very interesting how every part of our body is actually controlled externally by the various planets. So Maharaj Prickett was born at an auspicious time so that throughout his life, the most auspicious astrological influences would be affecting his body. And not only his body, but affecting things external to him. This is by the science of astrology. All this can be predicted. So we saw his birth and the various samskaras were done. The proper charity was given. Everything was organized by Krishna to receive the great soul. Prabhupada described, just like when a great personality comes, you make a suitable greeting for him to create an auspicious atmosphere. So he gave charity to the Brahmins, and the Brahmins began to inform him a little bit about the child, that the child would become a first-class devotee, and he will be known in the world as Vishnu Ratta, one who is protected, and how he was saved. So they informed him about this, and now in this particular verse, Yudhisthira, in response to the Brahmins, begins to inquire, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king? In other words, after hearing about Maharaj Prickett's devotional qualities, he wanted to hear about his activities as a king in the Pur dynasty in which he took birth. Just previously, Maharaj Prickett's devotional qualities were being discussed. Now Maharaj Yudhisthira wants to focus specifically on his future activities as a king in the Pura dynasty in which he took birth. So the good king, Yudhisthira, inquired, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king, as pious in his very name, and as famous and glorified in his achievements as others who appeared in this royal family? So Prabhupada in the Purport, we discussed this verse yesterday, described that the king should be a replica of the ancestors in the dynasty. And I discussed a little bit what dynasty means. When you're born in a dynasty, especially a particular dynasty, a powerful royal dynasty, the child who is born has tremendous expectations upon him to act righteous and proper. This is what prevents someone from acting whimsically. It's described in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was very, very concerned that the battle of Kurukshetra would destroy the elders. And if the elders were killed, then the youth would act whimsically. Because the elders make the demands. When you're born in a particular family that is not divorced and is noble and righteous for generations after generations after generations of doing the same thing and acting properly and having certain values, then there's little chance that you'll be able to deviate from those values. But if you're born in an unwanted family where you don't know who your father is, or, you know, there's no dynasty, there's no tradition, then you're able to act whimsically. And in youth, certain whimsical desires come, but there's no chance for someone who's born in a great dynasty to break that tradition, to not act according to their standards. It's very, very difficult. So only a great soul can be born in such a dynasty. And that dynasty would also have the facilities and atmosphere to train him. If he was to be a ruler of the world, then all the proper values were inculcated within his environment. When I was running the Gurukul, I saw the difficulty when we started is there was no tradition. But after we had the school for 10, 15, 20 years, when a child would walk into that school, he wouldn't even have to be educated so much. Just by seeing how everyone behaved, he would know the proper behavior. Just by seeing that the students, the older students, were so respectful to their teachers, then automatically he would understand that this is how I have to behave. So it's such an advantage being born within a tradition and a culture that represents the epitome of Vedic culture and knowledge. What to speak of the family of the Pandavas and Yudhisthira. See, it described before Yudhisthira. Why was Sutta Goswami describing Yudhisthira? Because that's very much connected to his birth. Because this soul is being born in a family of Maharaj Yudhisthira who has those qualities. Therefore, only the most pious soul can be born in such a fortunate situation. And such a soul was trained properly to rule the citizens. And Prabhupada said, how superior this is, he describes in the purport, to the system of democracy. The Prabhupada called democracy demon crazy. Tocqueville was one French social philosopher. And when he came to America, because America was basically, it doesn't have a strong culture, because it's a place that started new. You know, people left their traditions and came from many countries. So when Tocqueville, the French philosopher, came to America, he made some statement that he observed the people, and he said that that culture becomes low. He described how democracy When you base a culture based on the people, it becomes low class. When you have a culture, when the values in the society should be decided by the highest class people, the most cultured and educated people. But if you decide the cultures and values of society among the mass of the people, then it'll be very common. Therefore, this is the purpose of educational institutions. The main purpose of an educational institution is to maintain and to cultivate and maintain the proper values in society in terms of all bodies of knowledge, to maintain the knowledge and traditions of a society. That's what a university was supposed to do in a proper society. How things should be done. What is the social philosophy? What is the, you know, military philosophy? What is all the different areas of knowledge? So he's asking now about his activities of the king in the Puru dynasty. So the learned Brahmins now, the rest of the chapter basically will be their predictions. The learned Brahmin said, O son of Pritha, this child should be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. And as for following the Brahminical principles, especially being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Ram, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasarath. So Prabhupada in the purport discusses the living being is separate from the service of the Lord due to his desire to lord over material nature, and he's offered a suitable body to satisfy his material bodies. And then he transmigrates. But Prabhupada said, due to being the part and parcel of the Lord, he's maintained by the Lord and he's protected by the Lord and his representatives if he's very pious. The king is maintained to, because he has some connection for the Lord, even though he's separated from the Supreme Lord. The king should give shelter and protection to the citizens so that they can regain their Krishna consciousness. It describes Ikshvaku. He was a great king. And in the Bhagavad Gita it says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avivan. Vivishvan manave prahur manur Ikshvakave bravit. Krishna describes how this knowledge comes. It comes in discipline. The sun god, he spoke this knowledge to the sun god. And the sun god spoke it to Manu. And Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. So this is the cyclic succession. So the king, he maintained those who were in the kingdom. He was such a great king, but he had the proper knowledge. He had the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. He had proper understanding to rule. And he should be exactly like Ram, true to his promise, like Dasarath, who was banned to the kingdom, the Ramayana, and accepted that. We can go on. Esha data sharanyascha yata ya. Esha data sharanyascha yata yavshinara sivi yasho vitanita svanam daushantir eva yajvanam. The child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered, like the famous King Shibi of the Ushinar country. And he will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanti. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the different qualities of a king are described. And one of the qualities described is Ishvara Bhav. Bhav means your mood. Ishvara, your mood of control. But it wasn't the mood of control, but it meant that he actually had factual power to protect the citizens, just like the Lord. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Konti apita jana hi name bhakta panashi. Krishna says, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. So Krishna is saying, my devotee will never perish, but he's saying it, why? Because he actually has the power and shakti and the ability to control and dominate things to protect his devotee. So in the same way, Maharaj Prickett, he will be a protector of the surrendered souls. Those citizens who take shelter of him will be protected. The citizens who take shelter of him will be protected in every way. And he has the power to do it. Just like when you take shelter of Krishna, when you become dependent on Krishna, then naturally he reciprocates and is attentive to your needs. So in a proper kingdom like Maharaj Prickett, if the citizens were surrendered to his laws and taking shelter, they were protected and they expected to be protected. That's why there's the story in the 10th canto when Krishna's Dwarka pastimes, when the Brahmin's son died untimely. Then the Brahmin, he lodged a complaint because he was doing his duty and he was taking shelter of the king, and therefore he expected to be protected in all respect. And he held the king responsible because the king had that power. And therefore when Arjuna saw that this Brahmin was protesting, and protesting against Krishna because Krishna was the king and not protecting, he said that I will protect. You take shelter of me, I will protect. And then one son after another was killed. And then Krishna and Arjuna went. Eventually they traced it back to Mahavishnu. This Mahavishnu wanted to take darshan of Krishna. It's one of the examples that's given by Jiva Goswami, how to support that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of God, because even Mahavishnu, even Vishnu wanted to take his darshan. But the point in that story, the point is that the kings had the power. And if you have the power, then you're responsible. And then it was described, he will be a munificent donor and protector of the surrendered, like Maharaj Sibi. So I don't know if all these kings are in the Puru dynasty, but it's going to list briefly the greatness of these different kings and how Maharaj Prickett would be like them. This Maharaj Sibi, he was a great king and he was known to be the protector of the surrendered souls. So Indra wanted to test him and therefore glorify him at the same time. So Indra took the shape of an eagle. It's called a hunter eagle. I don't know exactly what that means. And he chased after a pigeon, and the pigeon landed in Maharaj Sibi's lap. You read this? He landed in Maharaj Sibi's lap. And Maharaj Sibi, because this pigeon was taking shelter of him. We know that praja means those who are born. Anyone who was born in the kingdom, he took shelter of. So the pigeon landed in his lap, and as the pigeon landed in his lap, so he told the eagle, I'll give you some other type of meat to eat. Right? So the eagle was demanding. So then Maharaj Sibi said, okay, I'll give you my own flesh, equal to the pigeon. So he put the pigeon on the scale, and he started cutting off his flesh. But mystically, the pigeon kept on weighing heavier and heavier and heavier. And therefore, finally, he himself stood on the scale. And then Indra revealed, the pigeon eagle revealed that he was Indra. So it shows the qualities of great kings, that if you took shelter of them, they would take responsibility fully for your protection, care, and shelter. fully. And it means they would give their life for you. This is the... They would give their life for you. They would guarantee it. They had this Ishvara Bhav. I am the controller, and I will... But not in a bad way. I'm the controller, and therefore I'm the protector. Krishna is the controller, but he's also the protector. If you take shelter of him, he will protect you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. So these are the king. And his name and fame of his family, like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanti. Bharat is famous. Prabhupada discusses it because the land of India is known as Bharat Varsha. It's named after King Bharat. And sometimes they say it's Maharaj Dushyanti, but Prabhupada in the purport discusses that there are many Bharats. The son of King Rishabha, the brother of Lord Rama, and the son of Maharaj Dushyanti, they're all famous. But the planet is known due to the son of Maharaj Rishabha, who's named Bharat. Prabhupada said Maharaj Dushyanti was also such a powerful king. He used to be called Sarva Dhamana, or one who is able to control everyone. And the Pandavas or the Kurus, they're sometimes addressed as Bharat also, because they're in the dynasty of King Dushyanta. That's why I suspect that some of these are discussing the Puru dynasty. This is the dynasty of King Dushyanta. He was very, very powerful. He was the son of, this Bharat was the son of Shakuntala, who was a very beautiful society girl who Dushyanta fell in love with. You read this in the story? Remember this? Dushyanta fell in love with Shakuntala, and Bharat was conceived, and then the king, I guess maybe out of embarrassment, left, and he was raised in the forest by his mother. And Prabhupada said he was so strong that he was the more than the so-called modern Tarzan. He'd grown up in the village, in the jungle. Danvinam agranyaresha tulyas charjuna yor dvayor utasha eva durdarsha samudra eva dustara. Amongst great bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjuna. He will be as irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. It's a long four-page purport on Arjuna and all his qualities. Megendra eva vikranto nishevyo himavaniva tatikshur vasudevasau sahishnu pitaraviva. The child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalayan mountains. He'll be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. So, as strong as a lion. The child will be strong as a lion. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says what? Of powerful something, I am the lion. There's something there. So Prabhupada discusses, one is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. So they're so powerful. We have the image of his grandfather Arjuna when Ashwatthama threw the Brahmastra weapon. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. So we saw the proper kshatriya when Ashwatthama threw the Brahmastra weapon the first time. No. After he killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi, then Arjuna vowed that, you know, I will cut off his head, you know, and something like it, and take a bath with his blood. And he chased him. And we saw that Ashwatthama was a very powerful warrior, tried to get away. Arjuna chased him, and finally he had to get off his horse and run, and then finally throw the Brahmastra weapon. So this is the king. He's so powerful. There's no sense that I'll do something wrong and then I'll escape. The king will get one. And as worthy a shelter as the Himalayan mountains. So James, when you go to see the Himalayan mountains, it's Prabhupada said they're famous for all riches. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. I know this one young boy once brought back this medicine from the Himalayas called Shilajit. He was a con man, but he was selling it to everyone. It was really amazing type thing that oozed from the Himalayas. It's a famous medicine. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these mountains. He will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. It provides everything and forbearing like the earth. Prabhupada describes that they're detonating atomic bombs and the earth is forbearing and tolerant like his parents. And so he'll also be very tolerant to those who take shelter for him. So Maharaj Prickett is foretold to have all these qualities. Patamaha samasamya prasade girisho pama asraya sarva bhutanam yata devo ramasraya. The child will be like his grandfather Yudhisthira or Brahma in equanimity of mind. He'll be munificent like the lord of Kailash Hill, Shiva, and he will be the resort of everyone like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is even the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. So everyone takes shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. Everyone wants Lakshmi. Everyone takes shelter of money. But the Goddess of Fortune, who is Chanchala or flickering, she takes shelter of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is the ultimate resort of all living entities. So just that's the image of the king. People are so frightened today. They're so distressed. There can be economic collapse, medical crisis, health insurance. So that when the king is there, you feel complete shelter, just like when you're in a family and you have a wise and protective father, then the child is completely sheltered and satisfied. So all these qualities of the king, he's called Naradev. He's the man who represents God, because he represents God's power, his law, and his affection and care. So when you take shelter of the Supreme Lord, then you're completely sheltered. You take shelter of a king like Maharaj Prickett. That's why people, the previous verse, it was Ram Raja. People are hankering for the kingdom of Ram, where there's a proper leader who will protect and maintain you, and you can feel secure in that relationship. Described in the previous verse when Prabhupada described Prayanalpaya Shah Shubha, that in Kali Yuga the people, the lives will be a shortened duration. Why? Because people will become at the mercy of others, and it would sap the very vitality of their life. Why? Because the people weren't neither capable nor wanting to give shelter. If you work today for some government or you work today for some person, you're always in anxiety. Because if there's some change in the economy, they'll let you go. They can't protect you. They can't give you shelter. And therefore, to work for someone or depend on another's mercy saps one's very vitality. But not here, not like Maharaj Prickett, not Krishna. When you take shelter of them, they can give you care and maintenance, and they also have the affection and kindness to do so. And he will be munificent like Lord of Kailash Hill, Shiva. Shiva is, the excellent point is that Lord Shiva never denies any sort of gift. He is therefore the most generous, although sometimes some kind of mistake is made. It described how he gave shelter to this demon Vikasura, who became empowered by the grace of Shiva. And He wanted a benediction. Lord Shiva said, whatever benediction you want. He said, I want that to vanish anyone simply by touching their head. So Lord Shiva, he couldn't refuse. So generous, so liberal. And then what he wanted to do, he wanted to touch Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva ran, he took shelter of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu somehow convinced the man to put the finger to his head, and his demon and his own head blew up. But the point is, this is Lord Shiva. He's Ashutosh. Ashutosh means very easily pleased. So imagine the qualities of King Parikshit that they're predicting. He's so powerful, but he's very easily pleased. And he's Bhutanath. Bhutanath means the Lord of the ghosts, the common folk. Without even consideration, anyone who takes shelter of Lord Shiva, then he gives them shelter and he gives them protection. So Maharaj Prickett, he has these qualities. Not only is he such a powerful king and can give resort to everyone, and he's like a lion in the chase if you do something, but at the same time, he's so kind. Anyone who gives shelter, he's open-hearted. It's not that he's a very powerful king and you're afraid to approach him. But you know, he's so kind that if you just surrender to him, he takes shelter. And it's described that also he'll have equanimity of mind like Yudhisthira Brahma. And the example of equanimity of mind is described, it describes that because it says Brahma, so it says Yudhisthira or Brahma. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He said, although Brahma says, it says Pitamaha. Pitamaha means the grandfather. So it can refer either to Yudhisthira, which was Maharaj Prickett's grandfather, or Brahma, who's the grandfather of all living entities. And in both cases, the comparison is good because both of them maintain mental equanimity, being engaged in the welfare work for a living entity. It says any responsible executive agent at the top of administration has to tolerate different types of onslaughts from the very person for whom he works. So Brahma, who is he criticized by? Remember in the purport? The gopis. Why did the gopis?
Because they didn't feel they engineered such a wonderful body so that they could take constant darshan.
Yeah, because the eyes were blinking, created eyelids which obstructed their seeing Krishna. They could not tolerate a moment's blinking of the eyes, for it kept them from seeing their beloved Lord Krishna. And Maharaj Yudhisthira also had to tolerate so equanimity of mind. Sarva sadguna mahatmye esha krishna manuvrata vanti devo ivodara yatiriva dharmaka. The child will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna by following in his footsteps. In magnanimity he will become as great as King Rantidev, and in religion he will be like Maharaj Yati. So he'll be almost as good as Lord Krishna by following in his footsteps. And the point that's made is that Krishna's instructions are sublime. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And you can associate with him by his instructions. The Lord is not, Prabhupada said, a material object whose presence has to feel for such association. He's there in his instructions. So because he was almost as good because he followed the instructions of Krishna so perfectly. Therefore, if you take someone's instructions perfectly, you become like them. So this is Maharaj Prickett. And magnanimity, generousness, he was like Rantidev. It doesn't describe exactly in the purport, but I think in the ninth canto, eighth canto, it describes Rantidev. He's a great king. And I think he fasted for so many, like 40 days or a year, didn't take any food or water. And just as he was about to eat, someone came and he gave him half his meal. answer. Go ahead. So in generosity, he would be like Ranti Dev. So Ranti Dev, he was fasting for a long time. And then finally, someone else came and he gave them the water. And then they revealed to be like Shiva and Brahma. So he was just so charitable, so magnanimous. You can see the sense of a great person is that his life is meant not for his own aggrandizement, ego, sense gratification, but it's meant for the benefit of others. Because this world is created for the benefit of others. One who does the Lord's service in this world works for the benefit of others without any personal concern. So you see that we actually have to hear these pastimes to even become a devotee. Because our problem is that instead of being in that mood of service and sacrifice to Krishna, we're self-centered and absorbed. We base everything around our personal needs and pleasures. So I can see, I was wondering, you know, when you hear about the kings, exactly what exactly this has to do with this theme in the Bhagavatam that's running through of devotional service. But you see, you need an injection of his history of character. Sometimes Rabindra Sarup used to say that before you become a Mahabhagavat, you got to become a human being. You have to develop character. Character means the ability to live your life by principles and truth, rather than you live your life expediently. By reading these qualities of Maharaj Parikit, his qualities, which will be like these various kings, how humbling it is. How humbling it is when we actually meditate on our own internal sense of sacrifice. The basic thing in Krishna consciousness is that when you introspect and look into your consciousness, you have to see how much you're actually devoted, how much you're actually want, how much you're actually in this Krishna consciousness movement for bhakti, for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, and how much you're in this movement for your own ego and pleasure. How much bhakti do you have? So this is the basic principle. The basic principle is the ability to give and sacrifice. And first that sacrifice comes in terms of acting for God's law, which is manifest in certain principles. So very interesting here. He'll be like Ranti Dev. In religion, he'll be like Maharaj Yayati. Yayati was the father of Puru. And that's the Puru dynasty. He explained to his subjects the greatness of Puru. Yeah, there's a whole story about Yayati, but we'll go on also. Vitya Bali Samakrishne Parada Iva Sadgraha Ahartaisho Samedanam Vidhanam Paryupashaka. The child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience, a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj, a performer of many Ashvamedha horse sacrifices, and a follower of the old and experienced men. So like Bali Maharaj, we know the story of Bali Maharaj. He was patient. He made his promise to Krishna in the form of Vamana. Vamana came as a brahmachari and begged from him. He said, I will give you whatever you want. He said, I only want 3 steps of land. He said, fine. You know, the first step, he covered the whole universe. The second step, he put on Bali's head. He gave everything, Atmanivedana. He was patient. A staunch devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad, devotee, he wanted to satisfy Krishna. And there's nothing that could deter him. Service for Krishna, for him, meant that he would be tortured. His father would put him through all kinds of ordeals. But that did not deter him from trying to satisfy Krishna from devotional service, because that was his heartfelt objective in life. And he would be a follower of the old and experienced men. That's also nice. He would take shelter and guidance of wisdom. Vridarshinam janayata shashtachopattagaminam nigrahita kaleresha buvo dharmasya karanat. The child will be the father of kings who will be like sages. For world peace and for the sake of religion, he'll be the chastiser of the upstarts and the quarrelsome. So he'd be the father of kings who will be like sages. He was the father of Maharaj Janamejaya, who's yet to be, who's a powerful king. And they're chastisers of upstarts and uprooters of Kali. In other words, Maharaj Prickett in his life, he wanted to kill the personified Kali who was attempting to kill a cow. So wise rulers of the state should take lessons from Maharaj Prickett in how to maintain peace and morality by subduing the upstarts and quarrelsome people who indulge in wine, illicit connection with women, gambling and meat eating, supplied by regularly maintained slaughter. So he was powerful. Prabhupada said, if we want a blazing fire, we must use dry fuel. So in other words, if we want peace, we must have the basis of morality. If you want a peaceful kingdom, there must be morality in the kingdom. And the purpose, the king's duty is to keep the citizens peaceful for the higher endeavor of self-realization. But without morality, there can be no peace. So the king must enforce the proper morality. And he must be wise, otherwise the king cannot control the wise in his kingdom. So the king had to have such intelligence that he could control even the wise in the state. So this is also his intelligence. Takshakaratmano mrityum Dvija putro pasarjatat prapatyata upasrutya muktasanga padam hare. After hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of a snake bird sent by the son of a Brahmin, he will get himself freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him. So this is also, now they're describing his future life. He gets bit by a snake bird. And he immediately becomes detached. And because he's detached, detached means surrender to Krishna's will. That's real detachment. Detachment means whatever is Krishna's will, I am satisfied. Attached means that I insist that everything must go according to my will and my desires. But he was completely detached. And when you're detached and take shelter of Krishna's will, then Krishna can give you his devotional service and he can give you himself. Purport, material attachment and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord go ill together. Material attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness under the shelter of the Lord. So he immediately took shelter and surrendered. And that's a, Prabhupada said that that's a real devotee. A real devotee is satisfied with Krishna's desires. And if death is Krishna's desire, a real devotee takes shelter of death. One of my goals is I should be that detached. If Krishna wants me to die, I should be satisfied with death and not try to change it. Jigasitatma
Yatartyo munir vyasat sutaraso hidvedam nipagangayam yasyat yadda kutobayam.
After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. So Prabhupada discusses that he inquired from the son of Vyasa, Sukadeva. So that was another glory. His other glory is that he, one glory was, Prabhupada discusses this later in this chapter, one glory of Maharaj Prickett, and why they're so eager to hear about him, is because he was born in the family of Arjuna. And the other was that he had a bona fide spiritual master. These two qualifications made him so fortunate and so elevated. And he acquired about proper self-knowledge. So Prabhupada said, philosophy means the knowledge of the self. If you don't understand the knowledge of the self, you don't understand anything. Prabhupada said, if 1 + 1, if the calculation is 3, then all your other calculations are wrong. So if you have some philosophy, philosophy, sophy means wisdom. Philosophy means if you love wisdom, if you want wisdom, you have to start with the basic calculation that I'm not the body. And if you don't understand you're not the body, you don't understand anything else. And when you understand that you're not the body, then you will become fearless. You'll be able to renounce your attachments, and you'll be able to become fearless. And that was the example of Maharaj Prickett. Prabhupada says, you become fearless means that you're free from anxiety. Means getting relief from constant anxiety. Liberation means getting relief from constant anxieties. And this is possible only when the anxiety is changed to the devotional service of the Lord. It's not that we give up our anxiety, our anxiousness. Bhakti is based on anxiety. It's based on lobha, intense desire. Just the desire has to change from matter to spirit. We're anxious in this world because we don't have what we want. So we should just change it that we don't have what we want, but what we want is devotional service. So he also learned self-knowledge. Iti ragya upadisha viprajata kakovida labda pachitaya sarve pratijagmu svakam griham. Thus those who are expert in astrological knowledge and in performance of birth ceremony instructed Maharaj Yudhisthira about the future history of his child. Then being sumptuously remunerated, they all returned to their respective homes. So here it says what? Jatakovido. Yes. So these are vipras. Prabhupada describes vipras means that the Brahmins who administrate the rituals, the karmakanda sections. So higher than that of the Brahmins, than the vipras, and they maintain the jnanakanda, the knowledge. And higher than that are the Vaishnavas. Elevated Brahmins are Vaishnavas, and they're engaged in devotional service. And this is described in the Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam. Vedas are like a desire tree, and the mature fruit is devotional service. So the Vipras, Prabhupada said, even though they're just administer karmakanda, they're important and should be maintained. In the proper society, there's need of Vipras to maintain the rituals and samskaras and to keep the state peaceful. So even the Vipras are glorified. And they were enumerated. This is the proper society. So the Bhagavatam is there. It gives us the transcendental knowledge, but it also describes the culture or the structure that we need to support that knowledge. So Esha Loka Vikyata Parikshariti Yad Babu Puram Jistam Anujayam Parikshaita Nareshiha. So his son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus he would come to constantly contemplate on him. So Prabhupada discusses how fortunate this was, that he got an impression of the Lord within the womb, And thus his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. And once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Child Parikit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was the same personality whom he first saw in the womb. But no one could be more equal or more attractive than the Lord, and therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination, and thus Maharaj Parikit was always engaged in devotional service of the Lord. So important to have early impressions, and Prabhupada said, Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikit. One may not be as unfortunate, but even if he's not unfortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. And then Prabhupada gives his personal example. How when he was young, his father would take him to his ancestral temple, which was the Radha Govinda Mandir, and therefore at an early age, Prabhupada would worship these deities. And he got an early impression, and then in college, it was later suspended due to his association in school and college. He became out of practice, and when he was young, when he met his spiritual master, again revived his old habit. And he said, the same playful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. In other words, he was a child and just was playing with the deities. And later on, they became his same deities in worshipful, proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection. I am pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which developed later into regular practice by his divine grace. So this is also a point that from the very beginning he got the impression. It's so important to get the impressions from the very beginning. A few more verses. Sarajaputra vavridhe ashu shukla avodhupa apuryamana pitribhi. As the moon in its waxing fortnight develops day after day, so the royal prince Parikshit very soon developed luxuriantly under the care and full facilities of his guardian grandfathers. That means the Pandavas. Yakshamano samedena gyati droha jihasaya raja labda dano danyo. Just at this time, King Yudhisthira was considering performing a horse sacrifice to get freed from sins occurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there was no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collection. I didn't know it would go this long, but it's just till verse 36, so we'll just complete it, even though we're a little late this morning. So Yudhisthira, the resources of the kingdom were depleted due to the war, so he needed wealth. As Chanaka Pandit said, from wealth comes righteousness. If a kingdom is not wealthy, it won't be righteous. Poverty destroys all good qualities. Except for the saintly and renounced. And the Brahmins. But for the rest of the citizens, when they have no wealth, all their good qualities are ruined. So a leader has to ensure economic development. It's happening in ISKCON right now. If the institution is not prosperous, then people become very, very disturbed. And therefore now we have to concentrate more on economic and social development. Tadabhi pretam alaksha prataro chuta chodita tanam prahinam ajarur udichandisha purisha. Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north left by King Maruta. So King Maruta was a very powerful king. and he performed such a nice sacrifice that he was given a mountain peak of gold. And in that sacrifice, he had so much gold that even in the sacrifice, they would use gold utensils, gold plates, and then they would throw them away. Prabhupada would say today, material civilization thinks they're advancing and they use paper plates and plastic plates. They had gold plates and they were throwing them away. It was so everything. Every day we give charity of gold things, beddings, conveyances, everything. It's so magnificent.
Tena samvritya sambharo dharma putra yudhisthira vajime daishtra bhirbhito yagyai samayajadharim.
By those riches, the king could procure the ingredients for 3 horse sacrifices. Thus the pious king Yudhisthira, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased the Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. So just see, he was fearful. Why? Because he took responsibility for the sins committed in warfare. So even unintentional sins must be purified by sacrifice. So Prabhupada said, if Maharaj Yudhisthira was a sinner in his ordinary duties, we can just imagine the sins committed by people today. The main point is we see his example, with Maharaj Yudhisthira's example, that sacrifice has to be performed. And then Prabhupada in the purport, of course, explains that the sacrifice today is Sankirtan Yoga. We have to perform Sankirtan Yoga if we want to be prosperous. That will make us prosperous and happy and satisfied and counteract the sins that we've committed within our duties.
Ahuto Bhagavan Ragya Ya Yayitva Dvijay Nipam Uvasa Katichin Masam Suryadam Priyakamya.
Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born Brahmins. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. So just see how much love the Pandavas and the residents of Hastinapur have for Lord Krishna. He's bound by their love. You remember how much difficulty he had leaving? Now he's back again, and now he has to stay again for a few months. Sri Krishna Karshani. Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. So Maharaj Yudhisthira Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhisthira. He had to come. And then he sought the sacrifice of, and then he had to stay due to their love.
Vitauragya Janugyata Krishnaya Sahabhanduvi Yayao Dwaravatim Brahmam Sarjano Yadubir Vrita.
O Shonaka, thereafter the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhisthira, Draupadi, and all the other relatives, started for the city of Dwarka, accompanied by Arjuna and other members of the Adarsh dynasty. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Birth of Emperor Pariksit. Are there any questions? Yes.
He departed.
He departed before Pritchett was born. I think he had departed just after.
Because he was playing on a lot of Christian.
No, but because what happened was is that it was around the same time, because the whole idea is that the Bhagavatam appears after Krishna leaves the planet, knowledge and religion. Krishna appears again in the form of the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam appears to Maharaj Pariksit after he was cursed to die. So, you know, it's very, very close. I have to see. Chapter 14th is the disappearance of Lord Krishna. So he actually disappears a little bit afterwards. In other words, it's not essential that he disappears until Maharaj Pariksit is a little bit older. And it is, because then what happens after that because it's the next chapter is 39 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra. 39 years after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then Vidura returns home. And when Vidura returns home, at that time, Maharaj Prickett is already older and established, and Yudhisthira is feeling satisfied, somewhat peaceful, because now he's established. Then, by his preaching, then Dhritarashtra and all of them leave home. But Yudhisthira found out about it beforehand. I'm not sure the exact time. The next chapter after that is disappearance of Lord Krishna. But Yudhisthira had already gone to the... Yeah, Yudhisthira, it was, I think, it may have been, it's probably around his early life. That's, I suspect. Any other questions? Okay, well then, Srila Prabhupada ki.